It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
You're damn right it is. Let's go. Give me some air horns. Oh, nope. Here we go. All right. This is C. So I got to leave the air horns to professionals like Damien. Give me some air horns. Give me some applause. Give me a drum roll. I'll take a ding and a rainbow sound. Give me the I'm a winner. We have a Brandon Ayuk update for you, everybody.
What?
In case you've been living under a rock, it's over.
Well,
Ayuk has signed has agreed to sign a contract. I don't know if he's signed it just yet, but has agreed to a 4-year, $120 million contract, $76 million guaranteed, and our national nightmare is over.
I'm so glad we don't have to talk about Brandon Ayuk updates anymore.
This is what I said on my podcast, Candlestick Chronicles, that I host with the great Chris Biederman. Download it wherever you get your podcast. I said this last night, and I'll say it again. Unless the result is objectively better for the 49ers, there was no trade they were going to make that was going to make them better this year. If they had made a trade, they would have lost the trade immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But I just I just wanted it to be done, whether it was trade or whatever. It was just, okay, are we going to be lambasting the 49ers for messing this up? Or are we going to be talking about, okay, is he going to be on the field week one? Let's start taking a look at what the receiving core looks like with him in the building. We could just now move the conversation forward since it had been at a standstill for, it felt like, a month.
Mm-hmm.
We just knew, okay, hey, there's one of these two results on the table. Now, which one's it going to be?
Now, the reporting on this, Kyle, do you believe it's the same offer that was there 30 days ago or?
Yeah.
12 days?
August 12th.
August 12th. It's the same deal?
So Adam Schefter reported that the deal Ayuk accepted was the deal that had been put on the table on August 12th.
Okay.
The reason I'm inclined to believe this is because I think Schefter probably got that directly from Jed York.
Okay, but that doesn't mean that it's 100% accurate.
But I think it, yeah, no, you're right. I believe it though.
Okay.
And I think the reason I believe it is less who the source for that info is, and is more that would explain the 49ers demeanor publicly.
Mm-hmm.
John Lynch was, we talked about it, just openly pissed.
Well, he looked bedraggled. He looked bad.
Great word.
He looked like he had, you know, we talked about it, slept on a couch.
Yeah.
On a cot.
Right. And the fact that he's talking about Trent Williams, no, man, we're really working toward a solution and there just hasn't been a breakthrough yet, but we love Trent, we respect him as a leader and da-da-da-da. Was there good communication with Brandon Ayuk? There's communication.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was just openly, like, combative, saying, hey, at some point you got to play. And to me, when you take the August 12th contract into account, and then you go back and look at what John Lynch was saying, like, at some point you've got to play. The expectation is that he's going to be there. And you start looking at all that. I think that's right. And
okay,
I think Schefter deleted the tweet or edited the tweet. It originally said 3 weeks. I think he said it had been on the table for 3 weeks, but then he changed it to August 12th.
Okay. You just want to be more specific.
To be more specific with it. So Ayuk's agent immediately refuted that report, saying this is not accurate. So, but I'm inclined to believe it, given, like I said, all the signs from the 49ers outwardly was that, hey, this isn't a negotiation anymore. We've kind of got an offer out there, and he's not telling us what he wants to do.
I do think, though, if we look at the way that that it all plays out in the end, that there's some leeway here where, you know, both couldn't kind of be right. Mm-hmm. Where the 49ers can say, this is the offer. This is a 4-year 120. But then this whole sliding scale on when he gets what money, mm-hmm. and how much is guaranteed and all that, mm-hmm. that could have changed greatly in over the last 2 weeks.
So I took it. So that's interesting because I took Schefter's tweet as, or Schefter's report, I should say, as this was the contract. Like there was no movement. This deal was put on the table and then there was nothing. And then he just accepted this deal. The tweet says, in the end, Brandon Ayuk accepted the same deal that has been on the table since August 12 per league sources. His hold-in did not alter any part of his new four-year $120 million extension. Mm. He took the same deal that had been there for the past 3 weeks, hold-in over. That, to me, says it was just a contract.
Yeah, that's definitive.
And this also tracks with something I threw at the wall a while ago, thinking that there was no chance that it was true, but hey, you know, talking points. I think maybe he just didn't want to practice.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, it would make sense. He accepted this deal the day they finished practicing for the offseason?
Yeah, but he's a young guy. He should be out there practicing.
I totally agree.
Like, and if not, then that kind of like, what are we doing here?
I'm with you, bro.
I don't know. He's having...
Should he have been out there? Yes, but look at the timing of the Niners finished practice yesterday.
Okay.
They now don't practice until, I think they get like a bonus practice on Tuesday, but their first official... They're going to turn in a participation report. Week one practice is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So Ayuk waits until all the other practices are done and then goes, all right,
I'm in.
I'll take it.
So is he just having like this summer of Ayuk?
Yeah, he's just vibing.
He's just like, hey, this is cool.
Yeah,
I like being here but not working. This is cool.
Yeah, he went, hey, man, Nick Bosa just didn't show up until week one last year. That sounds great. I want to be, God, it's hot. I'm going to go out there and practice. I want to go to work today. Can you imagine if you could just show up to work and go, hey, my back hurts. I'm just going to hang out with the homies today, if that's cool. I'll sit in a meeting. I'll go to meetings. I'll contribute there. But hey, if you need me to do synergy and spreadsheets and things, I don't know. You need me to make calls, mergers, documents, things of that nature. No thanks.
Call season ticket holders.
Yeah, I'll get there. I'll get there when I get there.
I hope they had an ergonomic chair for him. You know,
I hope so.
If he's got the
back problem. Yeah.
Do you buy into the other reports that the 49ers had offered a third round pick to the Broncos?
Yeah.
In exchange for who?
Cortland Sutton.
Oh, Cortland Sutton.
So this dude. So Diana Rossini from The Athletic. She reported that, let me get her exact report here. Diana Rossini of The Athletic and the Scoop City podcast. The 49ers only were willing to trade Brandon Ayuk, this is again Diana Rossini, if they could get a top flight wide receiver to replace him. They offered a third round pick to Denver for Cortland Sutton and then would have dealt Ayuk to the Steelers, but the Broncos declined the offer. So this... That was kind of the loose end, right?
Yeah.
It was, you heard that the 49ers and Steelers were talking trade, and we talked about it, D'Lo and KC talked about it, the Chatty House talked about it. Anybody who followed this Ayuk thing at all went, so what are they going to trade the Steelers? Who are the Steelers giving the 49ers, realistically, it's going to help them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they're not giving up George Pickens or TJ Watt, like what? Who on that team... And then you hear it's a second and third round pick is what the 49ers want. It's like, man, what?
That's not
And
enough.
When I heard that, that was, you know, that moment that I went to, dang, they're going to trade him?
Yep.
It was that. It was, oh, they're so fed up that they're now just trying to get draft picks.
We've had a lot of those moments, Kyle, over the last couple of weeks.
It swayed a lot. It wavered a lot. Never a doubt, though. Brandon Ayuk staying with the 49ers. So when they started talking about that, it was like, dude, they're just going to take picks. They're so done with this that they're just getting him out of here for picks. But that makes way more sense that they were going to trade him for picks and then use those picks to flip for a wide receiver who could help them in 2024. Not that Cortland Sutton's great. Cortland Sutton is pretty mid as wide receivers go.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's not a needle mover. He did have 10 touchdowns last year. But
he did.
But overall, we're talking about a guy with 4,000 yards over a six-year career, at, you know, 4,200 yards, so 700 yards a season, a little under 300 catches. just nothing that just makes you think, oh, that's going to be the guy. He's got 1,000-yard receiving season.
Mm-hmm.
But my biggest concern is, like, is he the same type of receiver? Is he a guy that, you know,
he's
yards
not.
Per catch? And he's not. I mean, it's tough.
No, he's just not. And that's and that's where, circling back to the top of this, there was no move to be made that was going to make San Francisco better in 2024.
No.
That's where the incentive was to get Ayuk up to $30 million a year, and the full structure of the deal hasn't come out. So we're not 100% sure what exactly that looks like.
It's a lot of money up front. That's what.
So it's a lot of cash up front.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean that all the big cap hits are up front. So we have to see exactly what that looks like, and if this it turns out that it's a 3-year, $74 million deal or whatever,
mm-hmm.
that would kind of track with what the rest of the contracts for wide receivers have kind of come in at.
Yeah.
So. That's kind of, we're waiting on that, and hopefully when we get that structure, we can kind of dive in and see where Brandon Ayuk landed. But man, this is the kind of contract that, why were the 49ers not just offering this the second Amon-Ra St. Brown got paid?
Well, I mean, I don't think it was that far after, if the reporting is correct. You know, probably like a week after, 2 weeks after Amon-Ra St. Brown. So, like, I just don't know why we didn't.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, that contract wasn't that long ago.
The Amon-Ra St. Brown one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
When did
it? Like, May.
Oh, I thought it was in July.
I don't think so.
I don't know. Either way, they should have got this done quicker. It's okay, though. Like,
Amon-Ra extension, April 24th.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
well,
the Amon-Ra extension comes down. Hey, all right, that's the new bar. Here's this.
Yep.
If you know you're going there, we talked about this yesterday. If you know you're willing to go there, you got to start going sooner.
Yep.
Because this stuff is for the birds, dude. And it's not just for, like, for us, it gave us something to talk about.
For three weeks.
It gave us football content throughout the summer.
Yeah.
But no other teams do this.
No.
And you could also argue no other teams are going to 4 NFC title games in 5 years. Totally fair. But at the same time, it feels like Brandon Ayuk's automatically starting this season behind the eight ball, right? Are you looking for Brandon Ayuk to play 100% of the snaps week one? Or
no.
95% of the snaps?
No, but I am expecting him by week two, week three to be the receiver he was last year.
You'd hope so.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the difference between a defensive lineman, like what happened with Bosa and what was happening with Ayuk. I think that the connection that he has with Purdy,
mm-hmm.
like it's a really good connection and it's not just going to change.
Yeah.
Like, will he have a little bit of trouble potentially getting separation early in the season?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I think, you know, explosiveness, he'll get that back quickly. And, you know, I think both Shanahan and Lynch talked about this. They're going to start him out doing like individual drills,
mm-hmm.
and then build him up like very quickly before he starts getting hit. And then, you know, he's got to get hit a couple of times before
mm-hmm.
you run him out there for a game. But I don't know. I think he'll be okay. What you don't want to see is like a catastrophic injury early in the season because he's out of shape and not ready.
Yeah, and that's where my concern is about him playing a full slate of snaps in week one. But we'll see. I mean. Mm-hmm. We'll get reports out of practice and how much he's doing in practice. I honestly think I was trying to go look because there was a point where Ayuk was on the field practicing. Not practicing, but on the field doing work during a 49ers practice.
Mm.
And I was trying to remember when that was because...
I think Shanahan said yesterday he never had any official... practice time with one of their staffers.
Yeah, he was just like running on a side field.
Mm.
And I was trying to remember, oh yeah, here that was on August 16th.
Okay.
That happened. So part of me wonders if that going back to the getting the contract on August 12th.
Mm-hmm.
Like 4 days after that contract gets put on the table, he just happens to be getting some workouts in on a side field during practice. And he starts showing up to preseason games.
Yeah, he kind of felt like this thing should have just finished up.
He was in the suite with like injured players during their second preseason game, and then traveled with the team to Las Vegas for their third one.
All right.
I think that's 100% correct. That contract is on the table.
Yeah, it's intriguing, right?
Yeah.
Well, either way, it's over. I think it. Luckily, we can move forward and we get to see what he looks like on the field now. And all eyes shift straight to Trent Williams. And it's like, what is Trent Williams' contract going to look like? When are they going to get that deal done? And I don't. Kyle, does the Ayuk contract make things more difficult or less difficult getting Trent Williams back?
I don't know that it has that big of an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have a firm number on what you're working with Ayuk's deal and how that fits in long term. And you can only, when you're crunching numbers for the next 3 to 5 years, you can only kind of project what you think Brock Purdy's going to be making.
Mm-hmm.
And then you adjust from there. But I think we talked about this yesterday, but it rings even more true now. Whatever Trent Williams wants, you give it to him.
Yeah.
You get Trent Williams on the field. And if that puts you in a little bit of a bind 2 years from now, 3 years from now, okay, deal with it then. But you just can't be smoking games in 2024 because you're worried about what your cap situation looks like in 2027. I'm sorry, that I understand it's a business. I understand that those people make a ton of money to make those decisions. They are far smarter than me when it comes to the salary cap. Totally understand. I'm not saying I can do the job better than them. I'm saying from a philosophical standpoint, it makes way more sense to push your chips in for this year and then maybe next year and then figure out the rest down the road.
Well, I think it makes more sense too when you look at Trent Williams at age 36, 37 and mm-hmm. just understand that like his clock is ticking.
Yeah.
Like this is your window right here with this team. Like mm-hmm. there might be another window right after this. Like I'm not closing any windows and all that stuff.
Sure.
But with Trent Williams specifically, it's like, hey, man, like if you're going to sit out, like how many games do you think you have left in your career? Like maybe 40.
Well, but on the other side of that.
Yeah, get your money.
He's going to say, yeah, exactly. I might only have 40 games left. So I want to maximize my earning potential in those 40 games.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Like no shade, not begrudging him at all. My question is, I would love to talk to the 49ers and say, what's the holdup? What is so important that you are not willing to give Trent Williams whatever it is he's asking for? And maybe it's something outrageous. Maybe he's like, I'm not playing for anything less than 4 years and $120 million fully guaranteed. That's like, like golly. Like, okay, that's yikes. Right. That's a lot. But if he goes, I want 3 years, 90, fully guaranteed, sure. We'll give you those 3 years that keeps you with the team through your age 39 season. Hopefully you play all three of those years. We're going to do our best to build a contender around you to make sure that those years are worth it for you. And we'll set you on your way.
Mm-hmm.
And if he retires and you got to eat a bunch of dead cap because you guaranteed him some money a couple years down the road, so be it. Deal with it then.
Yeah.
That's a future problem because the problem right now is that you're going to lose your season opener if Trent Williams isn't on the field.
I would agree with you.
We saw what this team looked like last year without Trent Williams. It's a very good Jets team. I do not think the 49ers can win that game without Trent Williams. And you don't want to start 0-1. Not when your margin for error is minuscule in the NFC trying to get the number one seed.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what, like getting to the Super Bowl is hard enough. If you're putting all of these like stumbling blocks in front of yourself,
exactly.
That just makes it a lot more difficult. It's like, hey, you know, how do you get there? And you know, it's such a marathon, but like you should make the pathway as easy as possible. And that means winning as many games as possible in the regular season, not going for broke at week 17, week 18, you know, with the buys and everything, but looking at this and going, okay, how do we get to the playoffs? And how do we have a number one seed and how do we, you know, manage this thing the best we can? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got teams that are coming for you. Like mm-hmm. the Rams are a good team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of good teams in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to figure out a way to, like, to get to the top.
Mm-hmm.
And what you don't want to do is, like, self-imposed, like, cuts. That's what it feels like. You just keep, like, self-inflicted wounds. This team has already, like, battled through right now. We're watching it play out. So
that's why this is so frustrating, because it's like a bunch of own goals.
Yeah.
It's like, dudes, this is not...
Sorry about that.
It's not it, man. But I will say, the vibe with having Ayuk under contract now and that just being over, the pall that cast over the 49ers,
mm-hmm.
it feels different now, which is great. Hopefully the team feels the same way. Hopefully there's no bad blood. I don't think there will be. Debo Samuel's posting on Instagram congratulating Ayuk. I'm guessing that the coaching staff is thrilled to have him back and excited to have him back. Kyle Shanahan, certainly. So I'm hoping that whatever negative vibe that created, it helps diminish it some.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, we're not going to know till week one. And if Trent Williams isn't on the field week one and Brandon Ayuk is playing half the snaps, it's going to be very, very difficult not to point the finger in the front office's direction.
Yeah, I would agree. I looked it up. Trent Williams, as of August 1st, is the sixth highest paid tackle in the NFL. So Andrew Thomas from the Giants makes $23.5 million. You got Laremy Tunsil at 25. You got Darisaw at $26 million. Penei Sewell at $28 million, and Tristan Wirfs from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 28.12. So he isn't. I mean, he's $5 million less than the highest paid. Now maybe
is
this,
that in average annual value?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm in free agency. Whoops. I was at the wrong. I was looking at the wrong thing.
Yeah, in front office sports, I'm looking at.
There we go.
Yeah.
APY. Right tackle, left tackle. There we go. All right. Over the cap. Shout out. Yeah, and the thing with Trent is he doesn't have any guarantees left.
Yeah, even this season isn't guaranteed, I right?
Yeah, last season wasn't.
Oh, that's wild.
So my guess is that's where, I don't know if you'll see the numbers change that much. I think he's just going to want some of that locked in and guaranteed.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that changes. Hopefully that resolves itself soon. I do want to say tough news for Ronnie Bell. I think the 49ers kept 7 wide receivers on their 53-man roster. That included Brandon Ayuk. And it felt like 7 was in response to not knowing whether Ayuk was going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be a Ricky Pearsall thing, too, where they're just not ready to play Ricky Pearsall yet because he hasn't practiced enough. But I think at some point, when Trent Williams comes back, the Niners are going to have to clear a roster spot. If they want to add defensive end help, which I think they will, they're going to have to clear a roster spot. So that's the logical cut, is that 7th wide receiver. And I think that's Ronnie Bell.
Yeah, it's either Ronnie Bell or it's Chris Conley.
From everything I understand, it's Bell.
Yeah.
But you're right. Maybe they're more confident that they can get Conley back on the practice squad, because he wouldn't be subject to waivers. They could just cut him and re-sign with the practice squad.
Yeah, I also think there's a little bit in the back of their mind that maybe Ronnie Bell can return kicks or punts in the whole new system, but it just hasn't been that impressive.
No.
Like, it's unfortunate for a guy. Like, he just did not stand out at all.
No. I think he can play in the NFL. I don't think Ronnie Bell's career is going to be over if the 49ers get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how he fits with them currently.
It's too bad. I really liked Ronnie Bell. Like,
he was impressive in the preseason.
Yeah,
last year.
coming into this camp, I thought this would be a good camp for him. And then just he was never on the same page with his quarterbacks. That was a weird thing. Like, how many routes were run wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, are you not paying attention, or are you not working with these guys? What's happening here? So very strange.
Yeah, he had some good practices. He just never strung it together into preseason games.
Yeah.
And maybe the coaches like the practices enough that they keep him around. I don't know. But if I'm just kind of looking and from my viewpoint, that's the roster spot that is the most tenuous. So and I think it gets more tenuous with Brandon Ayuk being under contract and on the field and returning to practice when the 49ers practice again on Tuesday. Real quick, before we get out, at 11 o'clock, by the way, Matt Barrows of The Athletic is going to join this program, and we'll talk about the Brandon Ayuk stuff, the Trent Williams stuff, and where all of that, where all the Trent Williams stuff stands. Again, that's Matt Barrows of The Athletic going to join us at 11 o'clock. Before we hit this break, though, some really, really sad news out of the NHL came down yesterday. Johnny Gaudreau and his brother Matthew were killed in a drunk driving accident near their hometown in South Philly. Johnny was 31, played for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Matthew was 29. Johnny had 2 young kids and a wife. he, Johnny, and Matthew were supposed to be groomsmen in their sister's wedding today. They were riding their bikes down the road, and a drunk driver tried to pass an SUV and ran them over. They sustained injuries that killed them.
Yeah.
I know this is silly because everybody kind of knows it, but apparently people don't. There are too many resources to have you have to drive under the influence of alcohol. It just plan ahead, especially this weekend, Memorial Day weekend coming up. Labor Day weekend coming up. Plan ahead. Have a driver. If you're the driver, be responsible. If you can't decide on who's driving, take an Uber. Take a Lyft.
Yeah.
Take a cab. Call a friend. Whatever you have to do. Like I said, I know this is silly. Like I'm trying to break some kind of news. It just apparently people need a constant reminder. It's not worth it because you could wind up killing two people riding their bicycles, one of which was a father of two and a husband, mm-hmm. Sons, brothers.
Yeah, just devastated an entire family from top to bottom. Just absolutely tragic. He was a hell of a hockey player. His brother was a minor league hockey player as well. And this is just one of those things that, you know, it's so avoidable. And just feel for the family. And, you know, again, we don't talk a lot of hockey on the show. I don't watch a lot of hockey, but nope. We're talking about this was a 7-time All-Star.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a very, very good player that, you know, and by all accounts, even a better guy off the field. So,
yep.
Off the ice. So, horrible, horrible, horrible stuff.
Terrible news. Our thoughts are obviously with the Goodrow family, the Columbus Blue Jackets, and the NHL family as well. So, just wanted to get that news out. And again, Labor Day weekend coming up. Please, please, please do not get behind the wheel of a car if you are under the influence of alcohol, drugs, whatever. Just don't drive. Please. Yep. Please. Begging. Actively begging. We're gonna hit a break. When we come back, we'll have more Niner stuff for you. We'll got some college football last night, and we'll continue getting you ready for the NFL season coming up next week. Less than a week away from the NFL season opener, Thursday Night Football.
And we may have stumbled upon the greatest video of all time.
Great point. That's a great tease. We'll get to that as well.
Might need to lift the spirits here.
We'll get to that as well. James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
He's James, I'm Kyle. Shout out to Jiffy Lube. Wild Uber stories from Arizona.
Yeah, we have all kinds of wild Uber stories.
And Vegas, apparently. What were we going to talk about?
I think we
brought something up.
Okay, so we started down some weird rabbit hole this morning. We're talking.
Oh, that's right. Okay,
we're talking about Colorado, right?
So, yeah. So North Dakota State, Colorado last night, college football.
Yeah. So Colorado has a player who's a two-way player,
Travis Hunter,
and he's incredible at it.
He played all but two snaps last night.
All but two snaps.
He played all but two offensive snaps or all but two defensive snaps. No, no, no.
Yes.
All but two snaps in the entire game. Insane.
That's wild. I mean, he had 137 yards receiving and three touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then he's a phenomenal defensive back as well.
Yep.
And so we kind of went down this weird rabbit hole of two-way players that maybe have played in the NFL. And
well, because the question with Travis Hunter last year was, can he keep doing this?
Yeah.
Is this a sustainable model of success for an NFL player? And I think for a long time it was just no. And we'll get to some past examples. But I think Shohei Ohtani has kind of warped all of this, where now everybody's like, hey, can this just be a thing?
Yeah.
Is the next, can we just do this in football? And Travis Hunter is, it's not, he's a great corner, and yeah, he plays a little receiver, or vice versa. He's a great receiver, yeah, he could play a little corner. No, he's like elite at both.
Yeah.
Which is shocking, and he's done it, he's doing it again against North Dakota State last night, and appears primed to be a very good two-way prospect, which doesn't happen a lot.
No. So we started going through players that were two-way players in the NFL, and like I remember Charles Woodson really wanted to play wide receiver, and he caught two balls in his career, but he wasn't truly a two-way player. He was a great punt returner, and a phenomenal defensive back.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there haven't been a ton. And then we stumbled upon Deion Sanders, which of course makes sense because we're talking about Colorado, and he's mm-hmm. a coach of Colorado, and his son's a quarterback at Colorado.
Yeah.
And I was shocked to see that you pulled up, what do you have, 36 catches one year?
Yeah, so I have this vague memory of Deion Sanders being a two-way player. Because prime Deion was right about the time I started to, like, I was born in 1990. That was prime Deion started, like, 91.
Well, he was a two-way player. He played baseball and football. So, but I don't remember him as a two-way football player.
Yeah, yeah, two-sport athlete for sure. But, yeah, and I remembered him playing a little receiver. So, in 92, he had three catches. In 93, he had six catches. Then 0-2. And then in 1996... 36 catches for 475 yards and a touchdown.
I do not remember that at all.
That's like legit number three receiver.
Yeah, and it was for the Cowboys, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So he was the number three wide receiver behind Michael Irvin and probably Alvin Harper, right?
Not in 96.
Oh, not that late?
I don't think so. Maybe my ears are off. My mid-90s Cowboys knowledge is probably not what it should be.
Yeah.
Receptions. Michael Irvin, Eric Bjornsson, Emmitt Smith, Daryl Johnston, then Deion.
Okay.
Deion was the second leading wide receiver in front of Kevin Williams and Kelvin Martin.
Oh, wow.
Herschel Walker also on that team.
Oh, yeah.
So anyways, there's a lot to get into here, and we'll get to the fun video in a second. But I genuinely think that football teams, as conservative as the NFL is from a football standpoint, I think there's going to be a team that takes Travis Hunter and tries to play him as a two-way player. Like I genuinely think a team is going to try and harness that. A, because we're smarter about football now than we were in 1996 when Deion was doing this. But B, a player like Deion sets a blueprint that you can follow a little bit. Like, he was a legit two-way player.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he was
for one season, really.
He was a star defensive back, mm-hmm. an absolute star,
mm-hmm.
and then a great kick returner as mm-hmm. well. I remember when he was with the 49ers for the one season, he wanted to play wide receiver. He wanted to line up, and he may have even lined up a few possessions, mm-hmm. but not that many. Like, they were like, okay, look, man, we have a really good team and a really good system. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's a way for Hunter to be like a nickel back and a wide receiver.
Yeah, that was kind of my first thought, but the nickel's on the field so much now that,
yeah, that's true.
You'd be playing 80% of the
a dime back.
It'll depend. I think on it. Yes, basically, and I think it'll depend on how a team views him, because I see people in the chat saying you're not going to be able to do this in the NFL, and I think I tend to agree. The sport is just too hard. The level of football is too high.
I don't think you can play all but two snaps.
Yeah,
you know, but you could probably play 15 snaps on defense. I don't know.
Yeah, right. Or on offense, depending on how, if a team looks at him and says, man, that we look at him as a corner, he's going to be a great corner.
Yeah.
And then we'll sprinkle him in on offense. I think that's easier than trying to sprinkle him in defensively. And I think you get more out of him that way.
Mm-hmm.
Where, hey, he's going to be on the field for 100% of the defensive snaps. And then we have these 12 plays in the playbook designed for him, and he'll be on the field for 20 offensive snaps, but he's only going to get 3 to 6 touches a game.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Unless a team says, no, he's a dynamite wide receiver, we want to keep him there, he'll be our dime back in case, you know, a team's going to just go 5 wide and try and spread us out late in the game. Pause. I think that that's how you can best manage it.
Okay.
And that's what Deion was. He's a great defensive back, and except for that 1 year, he got sprinkled in on offense, except for that year that he was catching 36 passes.
Yeah, it's wild. And I think most of that, he wasn't lined up as a conventional wide receiver all the time. He was lined up like they would do wide receiver screens. They would do different things like
the Deion.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't have familiarity with the Cowboys offense.
Yeah, because even like you mentioned, like all of their other players, like Eric Bjornsson, tight end, Daryl Johnston, fullback. Like they had a lot of like conventional, like I don't know, pro style run guys out in the pass game.
Yeah.
So it was Michael Irvin as their star wide receiver, and then a bunch of randos.
Yeah, Charles Woodson also did a little bit of two-way stuff, although I remember him being more prominent as a receiver at Michigan. In his last 2 years at Michigan, 21 catches for 370 yards and 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, damn it. I did not have his football reference page up. I wanted to see what he did as a pro. There we go. And then as a pro, he had 2 catches for 27 yards, and those were in his first 2 years with the Raiders.
Yeah.
So it doesn't happen that much.
No.
Because it's really hard. And so as impressive as Travis Hunter is, and this is not a taking something away from Travis Hunter, I think he'll genuinely be viewed. And I think through the draft process, that's going to be a big talking point, is, hey, what position does he play? He worked out as a corner. He worked out as a wide receiver. These teams view him as a top wide receiver prospect. These teams view him as a top corner prospect. Or maybe it'll settle that, yeah, he's a middle-of-the-road receiver prospect, but a top-flight corner prospect. I don't know.
They'll figure something out.
Yes, and yeah. I think that whatever team takes him is going to try as best they can to maximize his two-way usage.
Totally.
If it's not, I don't think it'll be as prolific as it is at Colorado.
Yeah, probably not. But I think that there's still an opportunity for him to play both ways at the NFL level. Yeah. So while we were doing this, my brain instantly, I recalled there being a Raider who was first a wide receiver and then became a defensive back. And it was Ron Brown. It like popped into my head really quick. This happened with Ron Brown. So Ron Brown was a wide receiver with the Los Angeles Rams in the 80s and early 90s. And then he was okay. He was really fast. And then so we looked up, I was looking up Ron Brown. And I forgot that he had won the 4x100 relay at the Olympics, at the Summer Olympics in 1984, right? Mm-hmm. And then we're looking at it, and it's like, yes, we find the season where he actually stopped being a wide receiver, was signed by the Raiders as a defensive back, played a year as a defensive back, and then went back to the Rams the next year. It's still a kick returner. My recall of him, super fast, not really great hands. And they had great wide receivers around this time, like Henry Ellard, I believe. And then even heading into like the Flipper Anderson era, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but then hiding at the bottom of his football career bio on Wikipedia is this weird addition that Brown appeared in the 1984 Rams promo video, Let's Ram It.
Which is wild.
That's a wild name. Where he went by the name Speedball Brown and claimed to be the fastest man in town. And we're like, wait a sec. So, you know, I think we're talking about this moment where like the Super Bowl shuffle happens a year before with the Bears.
Right.
Right. Good. And so all the teams are trying to come up with their own version of the Super Bowl shuffle.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have it, Kyle?
Oh yeah. It's a quick Google search, and we found the 1986 LA Rams Let's Ram It video. Incredible stuff here. Luckily, there's audio associated with it. So you listening on the radio, check the video later, but you'll get an idea just based on the sound of the music. Again, we're talking hip-hop 1986 here. And just know, if you're listening on the radio, or if you're listening on YouTube, but you can't watch at the moment, just know that there's dancing involved.
And this is real.
This is a very real thing.
We're not like making something up.
We didn't. James and I didn't get in the booth and record this today as a joke.
No,
this is real. Here we go. Incredible. Running out of the tunnel, no pads on.
Cheerleaders.
Shout out to the cheerleaders. I mean, the fist pumping. Oh, that guy forgot the dance. Why did 21... Why? Hang on, stop.
That's Eric Dickerson right there.
Pause, real quick. Pause to all of that, but pause the video, literally. Why is number 21 in the front? Look, it's very clear what happened here. My man, number 21, don't even know who it is. I guess I could theoretically, we have the technology to go see who number 21 is. Number 21 is... Nope, must play defense. Where is he at? Nolan Cromwell. Nolan Cromwell.
Hall of Famer.
The starting strong safety. I wonder if he's related to Oliver Cromwell. Fascinating historical figure, Oliver Cromwell, by the way. But anyways, he got beheaded after he died. They exhumed his body to behead him.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy. Oliver Cromwell, not Nolan Cromwell. Anyways, yeah. Moving on. They put Nolan Cromwell front and center, A, because he was probably a star.
Oh, yeah, he was a superstar.
And B, he looks so enthusiastic to want to dance, but cannot dance. A, no rhythm. B, not totally sure he knows the choreography, just based on what we're watching here. Watch, I'm going to rewind this a little bit. Watch my man here. This is him right here, number 21, struggling. All right, here we go. What's that guy doing swim moves in the back?
I don't know. You got Eric Dickerson front and center.
Jamming.
I mean, 1,800 yards rushing this season.
I'm shocked. Oh, Big Bad Jackie. Here we go.
Jackie
Slater.
It's
a solo.
This is Big Bad Jackie, and I'm starting this off. The Rams are getting better, so nobody score. And don't you worry, because the Rams are rapping. When game time comes, we'll be back to Jackson. We can't sing, and our dance is not pretty. But we'll do our best for the team and the city. So get on your feet and clap your hands. Let's ram it right now with the L.A. Rams.
Hollywood.
Do you think he wrote that? Did the Rams media, like, marketing team write this?
I don't know.
Do you think they went and hired someone from LA, like a rapper in LA or a writer in LA to write this? Or do you think they said, hey, we're doing a video. If you would like a verse, write a hot 16. And Jackie Slater went, yeah, I'm in there.
Oh, man.
Kind of bars, to be honest. All right, now here's we're getting to our guy Ron Brown here in a second, who started all this.
Okay, and then Nolan Cromwell is next.
Nolan
He's
Cromwell's
got the
about
solo.
To spit. Yeah, here
yeah.
we go.
Hollywood, handsome, Dodge City tough. If you throw it my way, it's gonna get rough. I like to ram it, as you can see. Nobody likes ramming any more than me.
They call me Jeter. Nobody dresses sweeter. But under this cool is a quarterback mistreater. I come from the end, looking for the sack. I don't stop coming.
It's the southern ass accent. Oh my god. Like
they call me the demon on special team. I know how to rock from the toes to the head. When I pull the trigger, I'll knock you dead.
I'm a mountain man from West VA. They call me Herc, and I came to play. I learned long ago to ram it just right. You can ram it all day and ram it all night.
It's the point to the sky. And what is this? Why are they in the stands now? What's happening here? If the Rams were real ones, they would recreate this video. I'm Puka Nakua. I'm here to say. Okay, here we go. Here's our guy Ron coming up. What Speedball Ron? Is that his name?
Yeah, Speedball Ron.
Daddy Hill, take a look at my stock. I catch what they throw me and I like to block. I'm quick off the line as I can be, because I don't want Dick running over me.
to whoa.
Here he is. Here he is. Get him, Ron.
This is RB, no Speedball Brown. The fastest man in the whole damn town. Cars and ladies are a part of my creed, but more than that, I feel the need for speed.
So I would love to continue this. This is a 5.5 minute long video. When we first turned this on, I wasn't paying attention to the to how long the video was. And yeah, that guy mentioned that he didn't want Eric Dickerson running over him, but that's not what he called him.
That's
that
right.
is a thing that that was said. So when I first clicked on this, I went, oh, this will be a funny little 90 second. No, 5.5 minutes long this video is. And it just, it's more the same. Oh, there's cheerleaders dancing again. A saxophone solo? Do we think he's actually playing? What? If you're watching, if you're listening on the radio, this is a Rams player standing in an empty stadium. Is that the Coliseum?
Maybe?
I don't know. He's just standing in an empty stadium and they're zooming out as he plays a sax in the empty, in the empty stands. That's what's going on there. Oh, we got a transition from the sax to the cheerleaders. Yep, there we go.
I think he's playing.
I think he's actually playing.
Red in here, I'm a pumping iron man. If Eric can't get it, I will and I can. I'm strong.
That's enough. That's enough. If the LA Rams are real ones, they'll create that. They'll recreate that video. I need 2026. I'm gonna call everybody I know who might have any contact with the LA Rams and tell them Media Gold.
Media Gold.
Would be 40th anniversary coming up. 2026.
I'm trying to figure out who wrote this. And it's just it's ridiculous. We're gonna have to figure this out. Like, this is one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Wait, there's a 76ers song?
There, to be honest with you, we have to be cautious because we're now finding that they're not appropriate.
So, dude.
So I don't know if you need to go back to 76ers.
Lazy, do you know what it's called? Is it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Sixers? This seems right.
Yahoo, they actually did an oral history of Ramit. Just so you know.
Who wrote it?
It was in 2016, Frank Schwab.
Okay. I'm trying to get a hold of somebody who is involved in that story.
Okay.
I have so many questions.
Yeah.
Lizzie, is it this one? The Sixers also have a song? Let's see what's cracking. House rock is this?
This is some crazy stuff, Kyle.
I'm just a bit. Yes. Stomp them. Hey, Lazy, this is getting rough. I need the song to start.
Here they come, Philadelphia.
Lizzie, you don't get to suggest things anymore.
Yeah.
That was not as fun.
He loves his song. We get it, Lizzie, but...
Yeah, no, if you're a Sixers guy, I totally get that being your jam.
Yeah.
I was expecting, like, Dr. J to rap or something.
Oh, I think I did figure out that the guy did not actually play the saxophone.
Boo!
As part of the oral history.
Frauds.
Cromwell was asked... I'd never danced before.
That tracks.
And then there's also a wondrous clip of Slater, the great Rams tackle for many years, playing his heart out on the saxophone. It's even funnier now after his teammates confirmed that no, Slater could not play the saxophone at all.
Yeah, but he pantomimed the hell out of it.
He faked it like he could. That's what Irvin said. Yeah.
Faked it till he made it. Love that.
Yeah. Spectacular. Jackie Slater was incredible. I mean, they have a bunch of Hall of Famers in that video.
Yeah, they do. It's weird because when I was growing up, like the first Rams team I remember being good was the greatest show on turf. So when I first started following football, the Rams were terrible. Again, we're talking.
Yeah, 90s, I mean, I remember Vince Ferragamo, so yeah, and then Eric Dickerson was absolutely incredible.
Of course, there's a Super Bowl shuffle.
Yes, we've completely lost our way, but sometimes
no, we haven't. This was the planned segment, bro.
That's true. That's
we
true.
Haven't lost our way at all. We did exactly what I wanted to do here.
When you find a video like what we found, I think you have to play it.
So, David said that he sent me a Raiders.
A Raiders
song,
a silver and black song.
Is it the Autumn Wind is a Pirate?
Oh,
Silver and Black Attack, also from 1986.
Oh, see, I think this was a thing.
Yeah,
I do think it was a thing.
Hey, real quick, we got a break in a second. But yeah, I think no, I'm done with Matt George songs. I don't want any more Matt George songs in the universe. There's two, and that's enough.
We don't need to double down or triple down.
Triple down even. Apparently NinersWire.com redirects to the wrong website.
What?
In an era where I'm paid on page views.
Oh, Kyle.
My website doesn't work.
Oh, Kyle.
That's so sick. Yeah, go to NinersWire.com right now. And where does that take you?
Oh, Touchdown Wire.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Great way to bolster return readers. Is to make sure they know exactly. NinersWire.USAToday.com works.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm mad, bro.
Oh, you got to figure this one out.
I'm actually mad.
You got to figure this one out, Kyle.
Yo.
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 Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine if we were like, hey, go to ESPN1320.com and it just took you to Odyssey? That's basically what's happening here. Touchdown Wire is like the NFL-wide wire site.
Yep.
So there's all 32 teams. Touchdown Wire and Draft Wire are the 34 NFL sites.
Hmm.
Touchdown Wire is the one that oversees the whole league. Draft, obviously, oversees the draft. Easy work. That's ridiculous.
We've got to get to the bottom of it.
We do.
I'm with you 100%.
I'm mad online and offline. The good news is you're not going to be mad when Matt Barrows joins us next. He covers the 49ers, used to for the Sacramento Bee. Now he does for the Athletic. Not many people more plugged in than Matty Barrows. Can't wait to talk to him about Brandon Ayuk, what's going on with Trent Williams. Is Trent Williams going to miss week one? It's a possibility. We'll ask Matt his opinion next on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, I'm Kyle Madsen, that's James Hamm. We're the Insiders hanging out with you until noon here on ESPN 1320. Sacramento Sports Leader at noon, we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Joining us right now, one of the greats to ever do it, covers the 49ers for the Athletic, formerly the Sacramento Bee, also former Virginia Cavalier, Matt Barrows, joining us now. Matt, how's it going, man?
It's going well. I feel so much better now that one half of our regional nightmare is over, the Brandon Ayuk signing.
Yeah, did that. So the Brandon Ayuk signing comes down last night, 4 years, $120 million, $76 million guaranteed. Did any of that aspect of the deal surprise you at all when the numbers came down?
No, but, you know, the fact that it wasn't surprising is surprising because back in April when Amon-Ra St. Brown signed his deal, I mean, all of us kind of looked at it and like, you know what, that's about what this Brandon Ayuk deal should be at. That was like, again, that was in April, and here we are late August, almost September, and lo and behold, that's exactly what this deal looks like. We'll have to wait for the details, but what we've been doing these last 5 months, I mean, it seems like a lot of unnecessary kind of emotional stress that not just 49ers fans, but it's Pittsburgh, it's Cleveland, it's Washington, it's New England, et cetera, et cetera. If they had gotten this done back then, we would have, I don't know, saved a lot of angst, I think.
Yeah.
Matt, when you look at the way that this team, you know, you're coming off a Super Bowl loss. We always know there's oftentimes a hangover off a Super Bowl loss. It feels like they can't get out of their own way with these contract situations that once again just add even more pressure and more sort of vibe killing to what's happening. Do you worry about that going into the season? I mean, the injury possibilities for Ayuk and Trent Williams when he does sign is one thing, but just the overall, like, it doesn't feel like it's a feel-good offseason for this team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do remember last year having a similar feeling. Maybe it wasn't to this degree, but remember what was happening last year. Nick Bosa wasn't signed until the Thursday before the game, and everything regarding Trey Lance was just a wet blanket over this team. Mm-hmm. I mean, they traded the guy that was going to be their quarterback savior. And he lost out the number two role to Sam Darnold. That dominated all of training camp. And so going into Pittsburgh, I remember that it was just an oddball feeling about the team. You know, were they going to get off to a slow start? Everybody in Pittsburgh was really eager about that team. And then, you know, the game starts and the 49ers just trounce them. Mm-hmm. And so that oddball vibe is gone by halftime. And I think there's the potential for that to happen this year. You know, I don't know. I'm just saying that, and I agree with you, but I do think that there's a prisoner of the moment type of thing that goes on that, you know, kind of colors how you look at the whole season, what's going to happen. You know, they could be, you know, 13-4. Yeah. And win the NFC West with a couple of weeks to go. So, I don't know. You know, I think I would go with kind of last year's precedent and say it's not going to affect them very much beyond the first couple of games.
Talking with Matt Barrows, covers the 49ers for The Athletic. What do you make of the reporting that there was this four-year, $120 million deal, $76 million guaranteed, had been on the table for 17 days before Ayuk accepted?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of interesting how that came out. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of speaks to, you know, how these negotiations are a competition between the team and the agent. I mean, you saw, you know, the Schefter stuff is coming from the team, and then you see the agent very quickly responding to it. So, I mean, it kind of shows you, you know, going back to what I said about why didn't this deal get done in April, both sides wanted to win the deal. We can debate who won it, but I think that's what's going on. It is interesting that, you know, the 49ers are basically saying, you know, we didn't capitulate. We didn't all of a sudden raise our offer to get Ayuk, on the field. They did, however, raise their offer from what it started out at in May, which was $26 million a year. So 26 to 30 is significant. They're just saying the last 2 weeks it never came up.
Matt, the other side of this is the Trent Williams situation. You started by talking about it, but what are you hearing? What is it that's holding this deal up? Is it just guaranteed money? Is it multiple years? Or is it just something that, like, they've got it, like, Trent doesn't want to be in camp until the last second and doesn't want to, you know, spend his time in away from home?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I mean, this is just a guess. I don't have any of those answers. But to me, it's a lot like the Nick Bosa deal. There hasn't been the pressure to get him in. I mean, everybody thought that Williams would get his deal done first because of the rhetoric we were hearing from the 49ers. Oh, we've been in contact. We feel good about Trent Williams coming in. But that also means that there wasn't the pressure that the Ayuk deal had. Like I said, the rhetoric is very kind of similar to what we were hearing about Nick Bosa last year. And like I said, that lasted up until the Thursday before the season. Would not shock me if this lasted up until the Friday before a season that begins on Monday. So I don't know. I think Trent Williams is kind of looking, obviously long-term. I think he's looking long-term this season. Being on the field in December and January is way more important to him than being on the field in September. I just don't know how eager he is to kind of get here, knowing that, you know, it's going to be a taxing season. I'm probably not going to play 17 regular season games. He hasn't done a full season in a decade. So I think all that is goes into the calculus, and it's why this one is lingering right up until the start.
So do you think there's nothing the 49ers can realistically do? Like, if they said, hey, here's 3 years, $90 million fully guaranteed, signed, sealed, delivered, do you think he still wouldn't accept because he's focused on more the calendar than the dollars?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, I don't know, that the impetus hasn't been there to kind of move it to the point where the 49ers make this really sweetheart deal. Maybe it does now that Ayuk is down, now that they know the lay of the land. You know, that's another huge factor in this. They know what the future looks like for their cap, so they can earmark it. I'm just saying that, you know, that hadn't been done to this point.
Sure.
You know, Matt, we see that Brandon Ayuk, of course, he signs. What does that mean for the other receivers? Who do you think is sort of the odd man out, the short straw here, when it comes to the receiving group that now looks a little bit crowded?
I mean, we've all been circling Deebo Samuel's contract because the 49ers have an easy out from it at the end of the season. So I think that plan is still in place. I mean, lots of things can happen between now and March when they would have to make that decision. But Deebo Samuel has been preparing himself like he's going to get a second bite at free agency before he's 30 years old, which is the ultimate dream for these guys. So he does not seem like an unhappy person at all. In fact, I would say it's quite the opposite. He seems more content than he's been in years. He seems like a motivated person. And I think that this is all by design. I think the 49ers crafted that contract this way so that this year, Deebo Samuel, who's had weight issues, or at least the 49ers have thought that he should be slimmer than he's been in previous seasons, is motivated and has a great season. This is all sort of the calculus to try to, you know, push this team over the top in 2024.
Talking with Matt Barrows, covers the 49ers for The Athletic. You think, is Christian McCaffrey going to be good to go week one?
I think so. We've been watching him work out on a side field for the last 2 weeks, and he seems to be pushing it pretty hard. You know, my thought is they have this bonus practice on Tuesday. Remember, they're playing on Monday, so the week is a little bit skewed. I expect to see him there. I expect to see Juwan Jennings then. I expect to see Isaac Garendo. The only guy who is really a question mark, who's, you know, on the active roster right now, is Yetur Gross-Matos. And that would be a big deal because they're not real deep at defensive end. So most of these guys should be back. You know, Ricky Pearsall's shoulder continues to be a question. Is that shoulder healthy enough to go through a full contact game? Right now, he's going through non-contact style practices.
You mentioned Yetur Gross-Matos. He's dealing with the knee sprain. He's week to week. His status for week one is in question. But just bigger picture, are you surprised at how they went about handling their defensive line this offseason? Because for me, and if you disagree, please let me know. We'll just make sure to never have you on again. if you disagree, let me know. It feels like that group is thinner than it's been at any point in the last couple of years, specifically at the defensive end spot, where Gross-Matos, if he's not there, it's kind of like, man, it's Bosa, it's Leonard Floyd, it's Robert Beal, and then not a lot else.
Yeah, I mean, it was thin last year. Mm-hmm. So thin that they made not one but two trades at defensive end at midseason. So, it's the most bizarre thing. They pour all these resources into defensive end, and yet they always, to your point, seem to be thin there. Mm-hmm. And, I agree. I mean, we're talking about Robert Beal being one of the kind of the stalwarts there. We don't know anything about Robert Beal.
Wait, four games.
Robert Beal barely played last season.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that he's going to be good, but it's all projection. Mm-hmm. You're right. He's one of these guys that they're going to count on. Mm-hmm. Another guy, Sam Okwuanu, mm-hmm. Who I call Sam O because I don't want to botch his name.
Sure.
But, you know, not a household name by any degree. If Gross Matos is not healthy enough to play in this Jets game, Sam O is going to be up. And there's going to be a lot of people wondering who the heck number 91 is because he got very little pub this summer doesn't have much of a background in the NFL.
You know, Matt, one of the names that you didn't mention there is Talano Hufanga. Like, what are we seeing from him? He's coming off the knee injury. They've sort of bought the insurance policy, bringing in another player, but he is back. And just how has he looked? What have you seen on the field from him?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen much. He's only practiced one day, and the 49ers are definitely easing him in. My sense is that he won't play in week one just because it's so early. I cover this team through the Trent Baalke era where they seem to draft two ACL guys a year. And so I think there's this notion that the ACL, we've conquered it. Modern science has figured out how to solve the ACL. I don't think that at all. I think it's still a really problematic injury that, you know, costs athletes their careers. I think the 49ers are very encouraged by Talano Hufanga, but I mean, I think there's a real risk of being too ambitious with that. So, they obviously think that he's going to be able to play in this first month or else they would have kept him on PUP to begin the season. But to me, week one just seems so ambitious for someone who didn't practice all summer long.
Matt, thank you so much for your time, man. Really happy that football is back. I'm really happy that we're past the Brandon Ayuk thing so we can move on to the Trent Williams saga and hope that that one's done relatively soon. Matt, thank you for all the great work you do. I'm going to call you Matt B, though, because I don't want to mess up the last name. So Matt B, thank you so much for joining us.
It's a tough one. It's one of those Anglo-Saxon ones. Yeah. They're hard to pronounce.
The silent R. I mean, it's just
the second R is silent. Yeah, that fools a lot of people.
Matt Barrows covers the Niners for The Athletic. Thanks so much, man.
All right, anytime.
See you, Matt. One of the best, Matty B. I love that guy.
He's a good dude.
Very, very good dude.
Yeah.
Man, you know what? If I had to bet money today that Trent Williams plays week one, I think I'm betting no.
Really?
Yeah. What Matt said just now about Trent wanting to make sure that he's good to go for December and January, and he's not so concerned about September, that leads me to believe that, yeah, hey, if I got to miss a week and, it's fine. They're really close to what I want. It's not quite there. I could take it, but no, I'm gonna see if they'll come up to whatever number I'm thinking. I'm just making stuff up. I want 30 a year. They're at 29. I'll just wait until they get to 30. They'll get there eventually. If I got to miss a couple games, if they're not there by September 26th, okay, cool. I'll accept 29, but I'm just gonna wait.
Yeah, it seems like it, right?
Yeah.
Like, and for a player who has, who has a Hall of Fame, all the Hall of Fame credentials, like he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you kind of just, you're okay with it. If you're the Niners at age 36, you're going to give him some leeway here.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know this should bleed into the regular season, especially, I mean, they.
You'd hope not.
You really, I don't know what they're going to do to fill that void if he's not there. I mean, certainly long term. I know what's a Brandon Moore can, we'll see how he does. But
Jalen Moore.
Jalen Moore, sorry.
Brandon Moore, former Niners defensive end, I think.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or
that's right.
Linebacker?
Linebacker, outside linebacker?
Maybe.
I think he was an outside linebacker in the
Yeah.
Four.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds right. Now I'm going to look it up. See? Rabbit holes. There are so many Brandon Moores in NFL history.
Oh, no.
All right, here we go. I'm going to try this one. 2002 sounds about right. Yep. He was a linebacker for the 49ers from 2002 to 2007 with San Francisco. 15 sacks in 88 games.
Oh, okay.
Good for him. Came back randomly in 2010. Was out of the league in 08, 09. Came back in 2010 with the Chargers.
Wow.
Cool.
All right.
Anyways. Yeah, Jalen Moore is the left tackle if Trent Williams isn't there. And he's the only other tackle on the roster?
That's not good.
Offensive tackle? So if they have an injury at tackle in week one and Trent Williams isn't there, you're now playing a person at tackle who has not played tackle in the NFL at all? Like,
yeah.
That's a tough, like, and that's where it feels to me like the 49ers have a good idea, or thought they had a good idea, that Trent Williams would be there week one.
Mm-hmm.
They were confident because, yeah, hey, if you have Trent Williams and you have Colton McKivitz and now you have Jalen Moore as the backup tackle, that's great. That all works out. Thumbs up. But if that's, you don't have Trent Williams, now all of a sudden you're calling people off the practice squad, maybe. Maybe you're re-signing one of your, you're quickly re-signing one of your guys that you cut before the offseason.
Yeah,
Chris Hubbard,
like,
or Brandon Parker is the other guy's name.
Just to get depth, that's not a good
thing. Yeah, just to have a body in the building.
That's not a good thing.
It's not where you want to be.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's tough. I'm interested to see once Trent Williams does sign, I think we'll get some more reporting, because the Brandon Ayuk deal happens and we immediately get additional context.
Mm-hmm.
We immediately get, this deal's been on the table for a while. And, oh, hey, they had a deal with the Steelers and they were going to flip that pick to the Broncos, but the Broncos said no. Like, all of that. Like, where was this 2 weeks ago? Like, where was all? So I think once the Trent Williams deal finally happens,
mm-hmm.
if it happens, maybe he'll retire. But if and when that Trent Williams deal finally happens.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get some additional reporting on those negotiations.
I think that, and I think everyone's just going to have the understanding that, again, when a player gets to this point in their career, a lot of times they just don't want to be part of the whole camp thing, and they do need extra time. And, like, look, he walks on the field and he's one of, if not the best player, he's one of the best players on the field,
yeah.
Every single time he steps on the field.
Yeah.
And I don't think he needs a lot of preparation to do that.
No, I don't think so either.
It would have been nice to see him work alongside sort of your younger guards.
Sure.
So and maybe even work with a guy like Jalen Moore.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure that he can do much to help Jalen Moore.
Yeah, not at this point. Jalen Moore's been in the league for 4 years now.
Yeah, this is fourth season. Yeah. So either you got it or you don't.
Yeah, man, yeah. It's less. The reason I say if I had to bet today that I would bet Trent Williams isn't on the field week one, is A, because of what Matt Barrows just said, but B, I was with that line of thinking that he just wanted to miss everything.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't you just have agreed to a deal within the last couple of days then?
Yeah,
and maybe he's really going, hey, I got a barbecue planned for Memorial Day weekend, Labor Day weekend. Jeez.
He's got his fantasy
calendars,
football draft.
Right? Hey, he calendars. They're super new. I'm still getting used to them.
He's very much like ready for his fantasy football draft on Monday. Like, I don't really want to.
I'll catch that flight Tuesday.
You
guys.
You know how many times I've missed my fantasy football draft and had to auto draft because I have to be at practice?
I've got a barbecue. This guy, James, brings a nacho bar.
That's
it's
right.
Great. My flight's Tuesday. You can report Monday night. Nice little Labor Day weekend news drop. I don't know why Trent Williams talks like that in my brain, but.
Yeah, I don't think so. Like, that's not the voice he has.
No, like, I promise it's not.
Yeah.
But.
I think it's interesting that Matt mentioned that, that Trent hasn't played a full season in a decade.
He hasn't.
Yeah, and I mean, he's only played two full seasons ever, 16-game seasons, and it was his third and fourth year in the league.
Yeah, what, he missed two games last year?
He played in 17 last year. He played in 14 the year before.
No, he didn't play in 17 last year.
No, 15. I'm sorry. 15, yeah. 14, 15, and 14. It's
Jeez.
Really crazy he's been the Niners' left tackle. This will be year five.
Yeah, dude. Isn't that wild?
It is wild because I didn't...
So he that happened during the I will never forget this because it was during the pandemic, and I guess I should say the height of the pandemic, because that was April of 2020, and things in my town had just kind of started to open back up with, like, you know, limited hours, or the coffee shop that I was at was open but you couldn't stay there, they were to go only still. And we hadn't had coffee at that coffee shop in a while. And it was the Sunday of day three of the NFL draft. I was like, you know what? This is a long day for me. Day three of the NFL draft for me at Niners Wire and for everybody at the Wire sites and NFL bloggers everywhere is like a slog. Cause that starts at, I think, 9 a.m. Pacific. And then you're not done and you're writing all day.
Yeah.
You're not done until probably 6, 7 p.m. once all the undrafted free agent stuff has stopped. It is a long day. So I'm going to go get a nice coffee. I'm going to enjoy. And I'm at the coffee shop waiting for my order, mask on, socially distanced, all that. And hey, Joe Staley's retiring. Like, oh God, I got to write this. So I sit down at the coffee shop to write it. And as that comes down, I get a text in one of my group chats. It's like, hey, it sounds like this Trent Williams thing is percolating.
Mm.
Like, so I had run into my car, got to get home. And then by the time I got home, the Trent Williams deal was done for a fifth and a future third.
The NBA draft used to drag on forever. So the whole day you're on high alert that there might be a trade leading up to the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get there way early. Like normally I drive down, I'm in like at a coffee shop somewhere in case something happens.
Yeah.
And then once the draft actually starts at like 5 o'clock, it used to be that they did the first round and then the second round. And then you had to wait until the GM is done. And then you had to wait until the players are done doing all of their engagements in New York. And then they come on for a Zoom call or they come on for a phone call. So like you're not getting out of there until 11 or 12. Like it was a late night, but splitting it up and going to a 2-day draft makes it easier for us, especially when you don't think that the Kings are going to actually draft their second round picks.
Yeah.
So it makes it much easier, but it used to be just like what you're talking about, just one of the longest days of all time.
Yeah. It's a slog, but also of all the jobs that you can have where you're going to have a long day, sitting at a computer and writing about sports is one that I'm not gonna complain too much about. Yeah, that's crazy. Trent Williams, you're 5 at the Niners.
That's crazy.
Does he go down? Does he fall into the bucket? Because you don't go into the Hall of Fame as a team like you do in MLB.
Okay.
So the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you don't go in as a Niner or a Raider or whatever. But do you think Trent Williams will be remembered more as a 49er or as a Washington football teamer?
I think he will be remembered as a 49er.
Hmm.
I don't know. I mean, he certainly was great with them, but
he wasn't an All-Pro till San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the problem. You know, he was an All-Pro too, second team All-Pro in 2015.
Oh, that's right.
But, you know, we're talking about a dude who's got so many Pro Bowl appearances. He's 11-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro.
He was with Washington for, what, 10 years? 9 seasons with Washington. And then he had the season, the 2019 season he missed because of his head cancer.
Yeah.
I think he needs 3 more years with the 49ers to be a 49er.
You think that many?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if he wins a Super Bowl with the Niners.
Yeah, then that stamps it.
Yeah, yeah.
But this will be 5, so 3 more seasons would be 7. He'd have 7 in San Francisco, 9 in Washington. Yeah, I feel good about that. I feel good about that take.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I also feel good
about going to a break right now.
Let's do it.
Sacramento's next exciting athlete. We'll familiarize you with them next. On the Insiders, he's James McCall, Jiffy Lube's sponsor on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I have a friend who's an artist, and a very, very good one.
Oh, yeah?
Like, makes his living selling his art.
Oh, okay.
In various forms. And he always loops me in like, hey, can you comment on it? Can you promote this? Can you do this? Da, da, da. And you know, and he wants me to help him promote his stuff, which is great. But he'll also send me like, hey, and he has a whole group. I'm not exclusive here. He loops me in on the, hey, this sale's going down tonight. Be there. Da, 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 da. Like, brother, I don't got it like that. I don't, because he charges what he should be charging for his stuff.
Yeah.
People are willing to pay this premium. People like Kenny are willing to pay this premium for like, I'm not spending multiple hundreds of dollars on a t-shirt.
Okay.
I'm not, but I get people who do, like, I'm not begrudging him. It's me. I'm the problem.
Is he a t-shirt art guy?
Well, no, he does everything. He does shirts. He does like trading cards.
Well, yeah, but doesn't
he big like canvas style, not canvas, but like, yeah, canvas art.
Yeah. Well, Kyle, that's where you need to be like more forceful with your friend and say, don't you know who you're asking? I am the Kyle Madsen. I have a radio show on ESPN 1320. You want me to promote your work? I'm gonna need a piece for the house.
No, and if he asked me to do something on the radio,
yeah.
A, I can't do that because that is illegal. But B, he doesn't really. He just like, hey, can you comment on this and like that because it helps the algorithm, right?
Okay.
He just like
yeah.
trying to get that, which is fine. That's super easy. I put some fire emojis. I like the post, and that's what it is. It's the like, hey, tap in to buy something. Like, no, you can leave me out of this, dude. Not that I don't like it. There's definitely stuff that I'm like, man, if I could cop that, I would.
I'm gonna need like to look that, it up. Like
this is something I would buy, but I don't. And he just sent me something today that was like, hey, we got this going on tonight. I'm like, you enjoy.
Forward it over. I want to look at all of his stuff now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll send it to you after the show. Yeah. But again, I'm not going to say who it is because, hey, no free promo.
No, that's okay.
No free promo.
There you go.
I mean, never mind. Anyways, he's James. I'm Kyle. Yeah, we're going to bring the Ramit video back for the handoff. It's coming up in about 10 minutes.
The greatest videos of all time.
I really can't wait. Next year, barring disaster, the Athletics baseball team will be playing in Sacramento at Sutter Health Park. And I've talked again and again about how this is a cool time for Sacramento to, not only get a Major League Baseball team, but in particular get this one where I think that this is a really good group of players who you're starting to see as this season comes to a close and how well they've played over the last 2 months,
mm-hmm.
that this is a legitimately good baseball team. The A's have a, I don't want to say good baseball team. This is an up-and-coming baseball team.
Yes. With
a lot of exciting players. I think Lawrence Butler, the A's outfielder who had 3 home runs yesterday, left-handed hitter, sweet swing,
mm-hmm.
Has a ton of fun play in the game. I think he is going to be a superstar.
Oh.
I think people around baseball are going to know who Lawrence Butler is. And maybe not because he's not going to be a 40-40 guy. He's not going to hit 60 homers. It's not going to be anything crazy like that. I just think the fact that he hits for power and the way, like I said, his swing is just awesome. But I think he's going to be the type of player that has big 3 homer games, has walk-off hits, has incredible catch in the outfield, I think he is going to be a player who everybody knows by next season, maybe the one following.
Yeah, I think he's got an opportunity here. I was looking yesterday. He can actually make a run at Rookie of the Year. He's got like another 20 games to put up his resume. I think the leading like odds makers have like a kid from the Orioles as a top rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And
Colton Cowser.
Yes. And all of a sudden Butler's stats are better. I think he's passed him in home runs. He's passed him in RBI. Their batting averages are similar. But you're seeing a player who's on the rise. I think when you see a rookie have 3 home runs in a game twice in his rookie season, that's wild. Like, that doesn't happen very often. And so I think he's gonna be a lot of fun to watch. And I agree with you. They still need more, you know, of course. And I kind of wish that Estuary Ruiz would have been able to play this season and would have been able to sort of fight his way in and be sort of the center field partner with him.
Yeah.
But overall, I think, you know, this team does have a ton of talent. You know, Geloff has had a bad season, but he'll turn it around And Rooker still under contract for a few years, and mm-hmm. Blade really became a player this year. And then you've got the Soderstroms, and you know, you've got Wilson coming up at shortstop. There's a lot to like about what's happening here.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think we're going to see Lawrence Butler make a run at Rookie of the Year, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I'm looking at odds right now. Colton Cowser, the leader, of course. Austin Wells, Willier Abreu, Mason Miller, actually, on this list.
Uh-huh.
I do not even see Lawrence Butler.
No, he's not, but all of a sudden, his stats are equal to what you're seeing from almost every single one of those guys.
Crazy good year.
And there's been plenty of players who have stolen away a Rookie of the Year towards the end of his season.
He has a hard hit rate of 48.9%. That is a lot. Let me go see what Aaron Judge's is, just to give us some context. 48.9% is a really good number, especially for a rookie. Aaron Judge's hard hit rate is 60.2.
Whew.
Whew. That's ridiculous. God, Aaron Judge is just insane.
The home run that...
What a time to be a baseball fan, man. There's so many good freaking players in the league.
Yeah. The home run that he hit last night, that Butler hit last
night. Which one?
His third one, where he screamed.
Yeah.
Like 429 mm-hmm. Down the line and left.
Yeah.
And right. Yeah. Absolutely impressive.
Yeah. So...
he's a lot of fun.
He's going to be playing here in Sacramento, and I think he's going to be a legitimate bona fide MLB superstar.
Okay.
I'm really excited about him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where I land. I think the A's are going to be fun next year, too.
I think they are, too. They need a little bit more pitching, but a lot of the young guys are coming around right now and starting to show, you know, they need to go out and get a bona fide, you know, 2-3 that can, mm-hmm. Buoy the middle of the starting pitcher lineup.
In case you've been asleep, rotation. In case you've been asleep for the last several 15 or so hours, Brandon Ayuk is re-signing with the 49ers. 4 years, $120 million, $76 million guaranteed. I haven't seen a structure yet, which is always very, very important, of course. But even if we talked about, you know, does he play 95% of the snaps week one? Is it 50%? I think just having him on the field in general, mm-hmm. Regardless of how many snaps it is, because it's Deebo Samuel, right? And Juwan Jennings, okay, you feel pretty good about Juwan Jennings. He's stepped up his wide receiver too a handful of times. But after that, there's so many question marks on the roster that even if you're getting 50% of the playing time for Ayuk,
mm-hmm.
you feel so much better about what you can do on offense with him lining up a receiver for half of those snaps instead of having to rely on Jacob Cowing, a rookie, or Chris Conley, a journeyman who has, I think, 26 catches the last 2 years or last 3 years. Having Ayuk back in the lineup just fundamentally changes the Niners' passing game for the better, even without Trent Williams.
No, I agree 100%. I mean, you go from being like a solid wide receiver core, maybe not even solid,
mm-hmm.
you know, in today's NFL, to one of the top five or six. Like with one player, you mm-hmm. drop him in and it's like, oh, okay. And I think the other thing is he really does complete the puzzle, right? So you got Deebo who does all of his, you know, the quick slants, and you got mm-hmm. Deebo who does the end rounds
mm-hmm.
and all that stuff. You've got McCaffrey out of the backfield. You've got Kittle down the seam. And then mm-hmm. you have this incredible, Ayuk has this incredible ability to play within the 25 to 35 mm-hmm. yard mark. He's not the deep ball guy. Mm-hmm. He's that long mid-range that opens
19 intermediate area, yeah.
Yeah, it just opens up the whole field for McCaffrey and mm-hmm. for Kittle. Like, mm-hmm. really, he's the one that stretches the field in a different mm-hmm. way. And then I like Cowling. I think he could be a guy that maybe can be a deep threat guy. You know, maybe he's someone that can blow the top off a defense here and there and give you another spacer for the next level. I just don't know.
I'm pumping the brakes on Cowing.
Yeah?
I'm pumping the brakes on all the rookie hype.
Okay.
It got out of control. Malik Mustafa looked okay. He had a moment or two.
Yeah.
Dominic Pooney has looked great. Kyle Shanahan basically confirmed yesterday that he's going to be the starting right guard. He looked really good in the preseason, but that's not regular season football.
Nope.
Like, you got to see it for... Jacob Cowing had a really nice couple of preseason games. One of them against the Raiders team that wasn't playing any starters. So I'm I'm pumping the brakes on the Cowing stuff. If he can contribute as a punt returner, maybe a little gadget player this year, great. And maybe he develops into that. I think the fact that he was impacting games in different levels of the passing game during the preseason, great mm-hmm. sign. Arrow trajectory up for sure. I've seen some stuff about this Niners rookie class. Oh, it's so awesome. Okay, maybe. Arrow pointing up for a lot of guys, but let's pump the brakes on they hit a bunch of home runs.
Yeah, maybe it's like comparatively to their other rookie classes, then sure. But like
2023 class is tough.
What I like about Cowling is that there's an opportunity for him to not have to run some sophisticated route mm-hmm. and just go
sure.
and maybe give you some sort of option deep mm-hmm. once every couple of games.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be a major piece, but I do think that it's like just another element that you don't have right now.
I think he might take the role that they thought, and this is something you brought up a while ago. I think it's a great point. He's going to be the player they thought Danny Gray was going to be.
Yeah.
Where, hey, you're going to be this deep threat, but also, hey, you can take a screen and know what to do with it. You can run an in-breaking route in the intermediate area, which is where the offense thrives, and do something with it once the ball is in your hands. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was something that Danny Gray ever quite got down. Which is why he's not on the team anymore.
It's kind of like the Teddy Ginn idea, like, right? It's the guy that's supposed
Ted Ginn.
To. It's
wow.
supposed to like stretch the defense.
That's a great pull by you.
Well, there's a bunch of them that they've tried this with though that mm-hmm. didn't work out. You're like, okay, what are we doing here? Even Dante Pettis was supposed to be a guy that had really good speed and could probably mm-hmm. stretch the defense a little bit. And you're like, all right, it didn't work out. But who's the guy, the former Saints receiver that they had like 2 years ago?
Willie Snead?
Yeah, Willie Snead.
He's a practice squad guy, though. They didn't actually bring in Willie Snead. They've tried it in Kyle Shanahan's tenure. They've tried it with Marquise Brown.
Yep.
Marquise Goodwin. Not Marquise
yeah, yeah.
Brown.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Marquise Goodwin.
Yep.
Who had his best season with Kyle Shanahan. Track speed, legitimate
yeah.
Olympic track speed,
uh-huh.
And had a really good first season. But since then, like Ray-Ray McCloud didn't work out, Richie James didn't work out, Danny Gray didn't work out, and Richie James, like seventh round pick, had a nice little tenure with the 49ers, yeah. but didn't ever develop into a legitimate pass catching threat. Yeah, they've just not had that genuine take the top off a defense type of receiver.
But they've tried, and mm-hmm. I don't even know that they really had the quarterback to make that throw, like time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even know if that's Purdy's forte. Like maybe here and there he can throw a deep ball like that, but you at least need to have the fear of it. I mean, look yeah. at what the Chiefs just went out and, you know, they got Hollywood Brown, but they also brought in the young guy. Why am I drawing a blank?
Rashee Rice?
No.
Xavier Worthy?
Yeah, Worthy, who has that potential, that Tyreek Hill type potential to, you know, hit the gas and run past everybody. And all that does is, especially if you're going to have your number one wide receiver be Rice, who just loves to go over the middle and do like the same exact thing that Travis Kelce does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to live in that zone with some of your other wide receivers, you need someone who can stretch the defense. So, yeah.
I wanted to look this up because you brought up a good point. The Niners not having a quarterback that would throw it deep. I want to get these numbers right because I have them in my brain, but I don't know if I have them exactly correct. Brock Purdy last season threw it 20 plus yards down the field 47 times. He had 47 pass attempts of 20 or more air yards, according to Pro Football Focus. Had a 99.9 PFF grade on those throws.
Yeah, he's good.
Went 30 of 47 on throws 20 plus yards down the field. I've had it explained to me that what teams look for with your completion rate on those throws is like 3-point percentage.
Oh.
If you're 40 plus percent, you're elite. You know, you're looking for like 36 to 38%, you're really good.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, 33 to 35% is like, "Eh, okay." And then anything below that is 63.8% completion rate, 11 touchdowns, 1 interception on those throws, 20 plus yards on the field. Did it 47 times last year. Jimmy Garoppolo, in 2021, 33 attempts, 11 completions.
Oh.
3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
Mm.
That's tough.
That's tough. No, I mean,
he had 14 more attempts, 8 more touchdowns, and 2 fewer picks.
But where does Purdy, like, how often does Purdy throw in air 40 plus yards?
Oh, no, pretty rarely. Like, yeah. He's never going to be a big time arm strength guy.
Yeah.
But when that throw is available, and it's not necessarily the, oh man, going to step into it and throw it 45 yards, 50 yards down the field. It's just, hey, Ayuk or pick a receiver has a step on that DB. There's no safety over the top. I can get this ball to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the key. That was something that Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't very good at. And it's something that they haven't really had a receiver before Ayuk. Debo Samuel's gotten open deep a couple of times. Like we've seen that. George Kittle's capable of doing that. We've certainly seen it, but no, I think if that's the player Jacob Cowing is going to be, like if that's what he's going to provide,
mm-hmm.
then I think maybe he will have a little bit bigger role this year.
Yeah.
In his rookie season, but still I'm pumping brakes.
It would be good to see.
This whole like, man, this Niners rookie class is so great.
I think
I just gotta see it. What's up, Kenny?
Why are you talking about me, dog?
What? No, if I was talking about you specifically, I would have just said, no, it was a piece I read that was, I don't want to call it who it was, but it was just like gushing over how awesome the Niners rookie class is. Like, no, arrow up on a lot of the guys.
Yeah.
But I'm not ready to call it awesome. Can we talk Niners at 12:15?
Sure. Cuz
you might remember this.
Wait, okay. No, he doesn't have headphones in.
Yo.
Where are your headphones?
They're not headphones.
Oh no, grab your headphones real quick.
Those are mine that are usually over there.
Yeah, yeah. They're all the way in the thing. What? Okay. All right. What is it?
All right. I'm just going to I have ways to do this.
Okay.
You're going
to Are you familiar with this video that I'm about to play?
Already I'm not.
Okay.
And the title's crazy right now.
Dude, wait till you hear it. All right. Here we go.
I can usually hear some things.
Here's the 1986 Los Angeles Rams theme song.
Come on, man.
It's better.
It's much better.
Hang on, it gets better. Hang on, we got verses coming. This is just the chorus.
That's Eric Dickerson ramming
it. Yeah, whoa.
Here it comes.
Jack and Slater.
Jack and I'm starting this off. The Rams get down so nobody score. And don't you worry, cause the Rams are rapping. When game time comes, we'll be back to dive. We can't sing and our dance is not pretty, but we'll do our best for the team and the city. So get on your feet and clap your hands. Let's ram it right now with the L.A. Rams.
Hollywood handsome, Dodge City tough. If you throw it my way, it's gonna get rough. I like to ram it, as you can see. Nobody likes ramming any more than me.
Oh!
Nobody dresses sweeter, but under this cool is a quarterback mistreater. I come from the end, looking for the sack. I don't stop coming till I put him on the back.
Oh!
The moves are like dreams. They call me the demon on special team.
Daddy Hill, take a look at my stock. I catch what they throw me and I like to block. I'm quick off the line as I can be, cause I don't want Dick running over me.
Hell no!
Oh my gosh.
What?
Kenny, there's 5.5 minutes of that. It keeps going.
A 5.5 minute long song.
Snap. What in the hell was that? And why have I never seen this before?
I don't know.
Crazy.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
You want a couple more? You want a couple more verses?
Please. This is wild.
Where is it?
Baby face, and I don't yield. I'm a tackling fool on the football field. From the Jersey Shore to Balboa Bay, if you run at me, you'll have a bad day. This is RB, no Speedball Brown, the fastest man in the whole damn town. Cars and ladies are a part of my creed, but more than that, I feel the need for speed.
This is Catcher, out to make a run. With shades on, I can catch a BB in the dark. So now you're ready, and I'm sure you'll agree. The ramming is fun when you're ramming with me.
Whoa. Yo, was this the Rams or Two Live Crew? I don't know. Goodness gracious.
That's insane. They watched the Super Bowl shuffle and they went, we know what we're doing.
We got this.
How did my bad? How did you find
James discovered this morning. He has no recollection of that song.
Damn. No, we got into like we fell into a rabbit hole, and then I looked up Ron Brown, the old wide receiver / who became a defensive back.
Okay,
and hiding on his Wikipedia page, it said he was whatever Roller Brown or what he called
Speedball Brown.
Speedball Brown, okay. In Ram It, and I'm
oh
like,
oh my gosh. Like,
yeah. What? Yeah.
So of course, throw it into YouTube real quick. Just ram it! Like, oh my god!
No, those there was about three straight verses in there that was like, yo, what's this ain't about football no more. Oh, man.
I said the 2026 Rams have got to give us a 40th anniversary.
If
rendition.
The Rams were smart, they would bring that back, like the organization, bring that app, play it at SoFi, and just lean into it.
You have to.
Well,
I'd rather that than whose house?
Oh, my God.
Rams house.
It's terrible.
The nine people there in their Rams jerseys.
It's terrible. I made the...
We got like 30 seconds.
I made the observation. I think there's more Charger fans in L.A. than Rams fans.
No.
Charger fan, like when you watch a Chargers game, there's really like a lot of Charger fans there.
I'm gonna let that take marinate before I decide.
All right.
Tap in. D'Lo Casey coming up next. I'm on at 12:15. James at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Anything else? Brandon Ayuk, obviously.
Brandon Ayuk, man. Chris Biederman pulling up on us. So
love that.
It's gonna be good times.
Awesome. D'Lo and Casey coming up next. James and I done for the weekend. Until Monday at 10 a.m. Everybody, drink water and be nice, people. Boop.